and think for yourself what it would be like to go through life absolutely perfect, with no flaws, no blemishes. Every single thing you do is absolutely perfect.
Such a perfect specimen.
It's a perfect night for mystery and horror. The air itself is filled with monsters.
Perfect.
Welcome to a surprise bonus episode of the Perfect Podcast. For those who are new, the Perfect Podcast was a way to introduce the new Genesis trilogy, a series of thrillers that began with Perfect, which was released in May. Flawed, the second book in the series, will be out in September, and Tainted, the final book in the series, will be out in early 2023. All three books are by L.A. Kessler, who was actually paranormal romance author Lisa Kessler. The reason she wrote under that name, how the series came to be, how Stephen King fits into it all, and how these three books fit into the universe of Lisa's other books, all of that can be found in earlier episodes of this podcast. Oh, I'm Lisa's supportive husband, Ken, just in case you were curious. Lisa had an interesting week after she posted something on Twitter that quickly snowballed to over 100,000 people, most of whom agreed with her, and many who had shared experiences. But really, that's about enough out of me. Here's Lisa and a very special guest to give you all the details.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm Lisa. And this week, something very interesting happened. I'm an author and I'm hybrid author. So I have books with a publisher and books that I produce myself and publish myself on all the platforms. And this week on June 1st, when I logged into my Kindle dashboard, I realized that I was trying to get my numbers for May. And when I logged in, I had a negative number for June. And I thought, how can I owe Amazon? What? And I start looking. And normally, a normal month for me, and I've been doing this for 10 years, so it's a long time, but a normal month for me, I will have no returns, maybe two. Two is like the maximum. Well, this month, I had so many returns that I suddenly owed Amazon. And I thought, what? And I was upset. And I went to Twitter and I just put out an all points bulletin to Twitter. And I guess I should read that here for the podcasters if you have not seen it, but it went viral and now it's up to 130,000 likes and 25,000 retweets, because apparently I was not the only one suffering this, and it really struck a nerve, and most readers had no idea. So my tweet was just a reminder that Amazon is not a library. When you read and return a book, it costs the author. It's June 1st and I owe Amazon at the moment because people are reading through the Muse series and returning the books when they finish. Authors need to eat too. So obviously I didn't have a hashtag. I had no idea it was gonna go viral like it did. But in doing that, I learned so much from all the people who were commenting. And one of the things was that a lot of people aren't aware that libraries carry ebooks and that you can get an ebook from your library, and libraries buy the ebook, and that's what they're distributing to share. So if you are listening to the podcast and you're interested in reading, I mean, I know that some people are voracious readers and they're book budget can't possibly afford all the books they can read. So the answer is not to go to Amazon and buy the book and then give the book back and then take that money and give it to a different book, because people from the thread, the people who were doing it, a lot of them think, you know, that it's a victimless crime. It's just Amazon. But Amazon goes back to the little guy author like me and goes, we're going to take this money back. and suddenly you owe Amazon. And so for readers who need all of this content and their budget can't keep up with it, that's what the library's for. And they have the Libby app. I think there's another library app too. And so I put a shout out to librarians on Twitter to see if someone would come on and walk us through how that works, because so many of us don't know. And they have audiobooks, they have regular ebooks, all kinds of things. So I'm super excited that Arianna Norris from the Cahokia District Library contacted me through Twitter and said, I'll talk. So I hope that she can walk us through, you know, how do libraries work with ebooks? Can you tell us, Arianna?
We actually have a couple of different ones that we've become a part of because of the pandemic. We have a cloud library. We have Beanstax, which is a way to keep track of what you're reading and see reviews from other people and things like that. And we also have various ebooks and audiobooks in the library, as well as, because we're a district library, we can order them for you from anywhere. And when it arrives at our library, then we call you and say, come and get your ebook or come and get your audiobook. And same with books or DVDs or anything like that that you're interested in. Most libraries can order them for you. And most libraries like ours, if you go onto our website, you go into the catalog and you have your library card and things, you can actually order and put them on hold yourself. And it will tell you how many people are ahead of you.
So okay.
That particular author, how many are accessible? In other words, how many are in the system? And how many people are in front of you? And it's like the other day I was wanting to read the new Viola Davis one. And I looked at it and there was like 20 volumes. We don't have it, but available. And I was number 15 in line. And I thought, well, I'm not going to be reading that for a couple of days. Not coming in today.
Oh, you know, nice.
It usually doesn't take that long. And I got used to doing that because I lived in Alaska for 20 years.
Wow.
And libraries were my lifesaver. And I don't think that people understand, number one, if we're in a library and say we buy a kid's book that's maybe 40 pages long, especially the easy reader ones, because they figure you're going to get so many uses out of it. I mean, can you imagine buying a book that's 8.5 by 11 for the size and it's 40 pages long and it's a kid's book? And you, as a library, pay $175 for that book.
Wow. Because they figure you're going to load
that's
it out.
That's how many times
right?
It's going to go out. And that's how many times the author should get royalties from it, as
right.
if it was being bought. And when I first found that out, I was like, this is insane. Why are we paying so much for these books? And then it got explained to me that it's because it gets used over and over again. And we have, you know, to take care of our authors, there won't be any more books.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing. And I don't think people understand, especially in a community like ours, we are the only place you can send a fax, make a copy, use a computer, get books, yeah. get ebooks, get audiobooks, have, you know, learn how to use a computer, because we have classes for adults, we have classes for kids, we have programs for kids. We're just about to start the summer reading program, which is a huge thing. And I would be devastated if I thought that we were saying to the kids, read all these books, but then, you know, the authors weren't getting paid for them.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's,
it was shocking to many people when that tweet went out. They're like, excuse me, what?
I'm sure, because this is insanity. But then again, it's also Amazon's business model.
Yes. I'm hoping that through all this noise, a couple news agencies picked up the tweet and are writing articles, hopefully, that might bring light to it, because I don't know if Amazon is aware. I know that they changed recently the return policy for audiobooks, but ebooks got left out of that. So hopefully they will update that policy. But I want readers to know, you know, that you can get an ebook and it comes right through your phone in your little app. I have, and even though I was going to ask you about this too, even though during the pandemic we had to move from San Diego to Florida, my Libby app is still connected to the San Diego Library and I can still get my books. Right. Do people have to live near you to have a library, a digital library card and get books from you?
No.
So everyone could join the Cahokia District Library?
As long as it's a digital book.
Okay.
Which we don't have, I mean, like I said, we're part of the cloud library system.
Okay.
And I'm not quite sure. I know that it's, you know, you go to our website, which is CahokiaLibrary.org, and go over to where it says, you know, more, and then you grow down and it'll say ebooks, and then you can scroll down and see all the different ebooks we have access to, the libraries that we have access to, and that you can get access to through there.
Okay.
And that was one of our important things here, because the pandemic, our town is an essential worker town. Nobody stayed home.
Right.
And so we were doing curbside within less than a month after the first shutdown. And so you could get any of our things. And we also made sure that our Wi-Fi was up and open so that people didn't have to sit in the McDonald's parking lot, which is the only other place with open Wi-Fi in town.
Wi-Fi, yeah.
And you know, the kids could do their homework and things like that, because I knew when we shut down, I was like, oh my God, what are they going to do? Because a lot of people here do not have access. That's a presumption you cannot make around here.
Speaking of, I saw librarians in the thread who were also saying that it helps the library when you loan ebooks out from the library. How does that work?
Okay, so our library gets 42 cents a household in the taxes for a year.
Dang.
Okay.
Wow.
And I just about like lost my crap when I saw that the first time. I was like, 42 cents a household per year. But we do count everybody that comes in, counts towards our population, as they call it.
Okay.
The number of books that go out or are checked out through us, even if they come from clear across the country or Canada, that they count towards our count.
Okay.
And that helps to, it goes into our book account. It goes into keeping the library going. And
So it gets you more funding when people are loaning ebooks from the library.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And so, because once we pay them off, the money that's coming in that way, then it's free. You know, like I said, the $175 book thing goes to zero eventually.
Right. So can you keep loaning that book forever? Or is there a limit? Like once you hit 50, you have to buy the book again?
No.
Oh, okay.
As long as we've bought it as an ebook, or if we bought it as a regular textbook or anything else like that, it's ours. It's like paying a licensing fee on a DVD.
All right.
If you wanted to show it at a theater, you have to pay.
Right.
And if you see it in your house, there's a little money coming off of that actually is going, but it's not a licensing fee.
Okay.
But that's essentially what we pay for. And the more people we have using the library, no matter how they're using it, literally walking through the door helps your local library. Even if all you do is walk in and walk around and go, cool, you guys have neat stuff, I'll be back later.
But if somebody got on their phone and got a digital library card with your library, it helps your library, right?
Yep.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
I think you have to go through the cloud library.
Okay.
I don't read on my phone.
Right.
It's too small.
And
I'm too old for that. But I mean, it for me, I grew up in a very small, poor town outside of Phoenix. My mom had five kids. She couldn't have afforded us to buy books.
Right.
And the only way I've ever bought books is if I want them for a reference book in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's fiction or nonfiction or whatever. And I first got into reading ebooks, oh God, I guess about 10 years ago. I have a cousin who's an author, and she sent me the link and said, tell me what you think. And I was kind of like, okay, not my style of book, but you know, she's making bank now. She's published several. And I got to get a hold of her this evening and say, hey, you better check your Amazon account.
Right. Check your Amazon returns.
because, yeah, I can't imagine that she would be, you know, that she would know about that.
Right. Well, and if you're not checking, then you don't know it's happening. But apparently in March, there was a TikTok group who had discovered Amazon's return policy for ebooks, and they made it into this hashtag of read and return. And they were presenting it like a life hack to people to go read.
Oh, no.
Make their dollar stretch. But I don't think that they realized that by doing that, Amazon comes back to the author. Amazon loses nothing. It's just the authors. So anyway, I think that a lot of people didn't understand how that was working or whatever. And obviously not enough people know you can, you know, get it at the library. And
well, a lot of people I know, people don't utilize it because they just, it's not the end thing. It's not the internet or whatever kind of thing. I don't know. But they've been starting to come in more and more, especially the people who've been without a library and its services.
Right.
The only thing we don't have right now, and we're working on it, but we have to come up with $500 first, is to get a notary in there again.
Oh, nice.
But most libraries will have a notary. They'll have a copy machine. They'll have a scanning machine. You know, they can do all these things for people. It's not just a room full of books that you don't want to read.
Right. And I have one other question. This is more geared toward authors who want to work with libraries. Yeah. Do you guys buy your ebooks from OverDrive? Should indie authors be sure that their ebooks are available in OverDrive? Is that where you guys get most of yours? Is there another database we should be in?
I'm not sure if OverDrive is connected to the cloud library or not. I would have to check on that. I'm sorry,
Oh, that's okay. I'm just curious. I OverDrive is the only one I know of, because when I upload books with Apple or Kobo, they have that option to make it available to libraries through OverDrive. And I think there's one other also. Maybe that's the cloud library. I think there is one other. But anyway, for authors, be sure that you're making it available to the library, because then if somebody requests the book, you guys can go buy it, right?
Right. And that's the other thing too, is that our local authors, because we have a couple, and that's what I would suggest to anybody that is a writer someplace and they've been published, get a hard copy, softback, I don't know, and take it to your local library. Ask them to put it in their collection. Sometimes they'll buy it, sometimes they won't. Usually my directors, if I say we need to buy this book, because I know a lot of authors, she'll usually say, oh, that looks interesting, and then we add it, you know, we actually buy it. And especially for the local authors, take it to your local library, have your author signing or whatever. Or, you know, one of the ladies who wrote a book here, she just wanted to come in and have a picture with the director next to her book on the new shelf, you know, on the new arrivals shelf.
Oh, and, that's cool.
And so she posted that on her Facebook and stuff like that. It got more people interested. And the next thing we knew, we had to have 3 copies of the book because it was circulating so fast.
Wow.
Which is great for the author, and it's good for us too. Mm-hmm. You know, and if the local librarians are aware of you as an author, they're going to look for you.
Right.
You know, they're going to look for your books as they come out. And now, like me, I'm I'm really bad. I hadn't read the Muse series.
Uh-huh.
But I have our young adult book club person. She's 22 or something like that, I think. I don't have children in the home anymore, so I don't know what people her age are reading. So I'm like, oh, the Young Adult Book Club, that's yours. and I said, have you ever heard of something called the Muse Theories series? And she's like, oh my God, yeah, it's so great. And I'm like, we don't have any of them. And she's like, well, do you need me to write down the names? And I'm like, yes. And we'll get them to Margaret on Monday and see what she says we can order.
Oh, very cool. Thank you.
So, I mean, it's just, and that's one of the things that, I mean, that's why I saw your thing on Twitter is one of the authors had reposted you.
That I
follow and talk to.
Uh huh.
And she was like, what the
heck? Right, right.
And yeah. I was like,
people were shocked. But it's been a thing. And there were some authors who commented on the Twitter thread who one had had 250 returns. And I just, my heart sank. I mean, that's hundreds of dollars that this poor woman lost because people were reading the book and returning it. And that's not supposed to happen with the eBooks. So please use your libraries.
Definitely. And the thing is, like I said, if you want it in ebook form, chances are they can order it for you.
Yeah.
Or they can tell you how to access it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way everybody makes out for the better.
Yes. Because it helps your library, helps the author, and you get to read it for free. Everyone wins.
Exactly. And I mean, you should be getting more than minimum wage.
Right. You know? I agree.
and you should be, you'd be getting more than, you know, $1.50 or something off of a book.
Right.
I guess I would tell your listeners, if they didn't know this back in the 60s and 70s in bookstores, they didn't do returns really. They just ripped the covers off and sent the covers back. And those of us who were excruciatingly poor would then dumpster dive to get the books without the covers.
Right. Naked books. Yeah.
But once I found out as a late teenager that that meant the author didn't get paid, I stopped it. Even though, you know, I adored books so much that it was like at my library when I was growing up, you could only get 10 books a week. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those horrible, voracious readers. So I needed more. You
know? Right.
And, but I think it's, if you tell them returning an ebook is like dumpster diving, maybe that'll, you know, and it, I think it hurts, like you said, everybody. It hurts the author, hurts the library, the local library. All librarians want to do, besides pay off their student debt, is to bring that love of reading and of imagination and creativity and things like that to everybody. And it's free.
Right.
You know, yeah, okay, you pay a little bit on your taxes. And I'm sure if you're in San Diego or Florida, you pay more for your local library. But you have to protect them.
Yes.
And you have to protect authors and the libraries, because I'm sorry, some of us are old enough to have, you know, read history and things. And the first thing they do, it doesn't matter if you're talking about Hitler, you're talking, you know, further back, kings and queens and stuff used to do it. Burn that book.
Yeah.
You know, or that book was not allowed. That version of the Bible was not allowed.
Right.
If you want to get really crazy with it. And it's about having an educated population.
Yes.
And if we're not educating our population and they can't make themselves, you know, they can't do it by themselves, it makes their lives a lot harder.
Even if you're just a big fiction reader who wants to read 20 books a week, if you get them from the library, you're giving the library more budget to get more books.
Well, so and then we don't have to waste our time writing for grants all the time.
Yes.
Because that's where we get most of our money, is writing for grants. You know?
So don't buy books and return them on Amazon. No. Go support your library and get them free.
Well, and support the authors.
Yes.
Because that's not something that people do lightly.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, thank you so much for being here, Arianna, and coming on and talking about this, because I learned a lot, and I hope people who listen will learn and go seek out your library. And if you're in a town that doesn't have a library, now that there are ebooks and digital libraries, like my library card is all the way across the country at San Diego, but I can still get a book in my phone and read it. And so if you don't have a library near you, sign up for a library online and get a digital library card, and you can have, you know, ebooks and read them for free.
And that's the thing, is that the one thing I want to stress real quick before we leave is this: the more you read to your children aloud, the smarter they get. And that's a scientific fact. The more words they hear, not from a television, not from a screen, but from a person reading a book. I guess we didn't realize how lucky we were when our moms read us books when we were little. But that actually improves their school scores. It improves everything. And even if you can't read, especially if you're an adult, go to your local library. They will help you.
Yes.
And if you're not what we call not fluent in reading, like you stopped in high school, now your kid's 10, and they want them to read with you, and you don't feel comfortable, come and talk to the library. They will help. They'll find a book that you like to read, and, you know, off you go.
Thanks, Arianna. Thanks for being here.
Not a problem. Thank you very much. And I hope your campaign is successful, because this is crazy.
Yeah, I hope that they'll modify that whole return thing. I can see if somebody accidentally, you know, orders a book twice or new cover and they've already read it. But if you read more than 20% of that book belongs to you.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, yeah. I couldn't. Nah, that's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Don't do
it. You'll have to, I'm following you now on Twitter. So now you'll have to. I'll keep watching to see how it goes.
Yes. Oh, thank you. I'll keep you updated. Okay. Thanks for being here.
Take care of yourself. Not a problem. See you later. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this surprise bonus episode of The Perfect Podcast. Perfect is available everywhere ebooks are sold, and you can also get it from your local library, along with the rest of Lisa's books. Special thanks to Arianna Norris for joining Lisa today, and thanks to all of you on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok who helped bring more attention to this issue. You can find Lisa on all of those social media platforms. She's at LDY Disney on Twitter, LDY Disney on Instagram, and Lisa Kessler, writer and singer, on Facebook. She's also on TikTok as at LDY Disney. You can also find out more about her and all of her books at her website, authorlisakessler.com.
The perfect crime.
It's not a perfect crime, but it's a good crime. Perfect. And it'd be perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Everything's perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. And perfect.
Perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
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 Perfect.